Amen. Well, it's good to be here. I don't think my chances of keeping him awake are very good. Back in that recliner like that, I mean, he's looking really comfortable. So he'll probably sleep through my messages too, brother. So no worries there. No, it is good to be here and thank the Lord for his blessings on us. We got in last night. Wasn't too late. It was a little bit before 10 o'clock. And so I got a good night's sleep. I really did, and I needed it. So thanks for praying for us. And we are thrilled to be here again this year. And just want to take a little time to thank you all for your prayers and support of our ministry. And I'll give you a little update. We had, this summer, we wrapped up our summer campaign the end of August. And as you know, we were working with a church planner, Brother Chris Messick. And did he ever make it by here? Brother Chris ever make it by here? He didn't. Okay. And but you all helped us with John and Romans, and we thank you for that very much. We got the majority of those already handed out, and he has a reserve left where he's continuing to work there in Oromocto, New Brunswick. And so thank you for your support. We got this summer, we probably got close to 10,000 pieces of literature out door to door, and saw some people saved. Thank God for that, and pray for them, and pray for that church. They started services at River Valley Baptist Church in Oromocto, New Brunswick. Their first Sunday was August the 3rd, and they've had some visitors come in and some open doors with people in the community. And so continue to pray for them and thank you for partnering really with them through us to help that church start. We need churches in New Brunswick badly, and Bible-believing churches. Churches really across the board, even those that don't believe the Bible, are very few in New Brunswick, and they're closing down at a rapid pace. And some of them need to close down, just be honest with you. Amen. But it does kind of really tell the tale of a culture and of a society when churches, there are more churches closing than starting by far. And I know that's what's happening here in the U.S. as well. Pray for that church and pray that the Lord will just continue to bless that work. Brother Messick himself, he just had surgery on his feet, or one foot, about 3 years ago, just as he was getting to New Brunswick from out west. He was working on a roof, and he fell, and he landed on his feet, and it just crushed those bones and drove the bones up into his body and messed him up. It's a miracle that he's walking. He walks with crutches. But they finally did do a surgery on one of his feet to repair some of the damage there. And so here's this man on crutches, 50 years old. He's not young. And still went forward to start this church because that's what God had called him to do. And what an encouragement. And, you know, my question is, where's the young guys? Amen. And but he's doing what God's called him to do. And so pray for his recovery from the surgery. He's starting a church, recovering from surgery, just moved into a new house. All of this is within the last month. And so keep praying for him. And I think I've got a card of his that I can leave with you here, and you can just familiarize yourself with them. But thank you for helping us with our ministry. Not only did we work with that church plant, but we also did some more outreach throughout Sunbury County. That was our target county this summer, and the Lord really blessed, and we're just sowing the seed of the gospel and praying for an increase. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will still get the job done. Amen. And so thank you for praying for us, and I want to give you that update. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 2. I am on the tail end of a man cold. So appreciate your prayers, but also if you want to avoid a cold, just avoid me. And but I think I'm through the worst of it, so just to give you a heads up, that way you can't say, well, he brought sickness and didn't warn us. Here's your warning right here. This is it. So, but we are blessed. The Lord strengthened us, and we just came in from West Virginia a week there, and the Lord blessed in both the meetings that we were in there. And I'm just excited to be in the service of the Lord. And I know I don't deserve it, not worthy, but I'm thankful for His calling on our lives. Matthew chapter 2, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. And this may be, this may be the most important message of the week. And I know sometimes we look at Sunday school as just kind of an add-on or just something, you know, we just got to do this because the kids need their classes, so, you know, we got to do something while they're in class. I don't want you to look at it that way. This is very important. It's very simple what I'm going to bring to you this morning, but I believe it's very important. It's foundational to the believer's life concerning his relationship to the Scripture. And so I want to point out a few things here from Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. So I want to stop reading there, and I want to ask this question that I believe is very important. And the question is, why do you study the Bible? Why do you study the Bible? And let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your grace upon us. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us in the truth now. We stand in need of your Spirit to just take control of our thoughts, of our minds, of our hearts, of my lips, Lord, as I teach your word and try to get across the point that you've laid upon my heart for this time. Lord, I'm unable in my own strength. And so, Lord, please help me. And bless each one that's here. Bless the kids in their classes, Lord, and speak through those teachers to them. Help us all to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would take a closer look at our own lives when it comes to Bible reading, Bible study. Lord, please help us, Lord. We need you. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this passage, it's something that, it's familiar to us, obviously. In this passage, we're reminded of the great truth, and in the chapter before, the great truth of the incarnation of Christ, that God came down, was manifest in the flesh, and dwelt among us. Without this truth, we would still be lost. He had to come and die as a man for man's sins so that man could be saved. But of course, the other part of that is he had to retain his deity. It could not be just simply a man dying for man's sins. It had to be a perfect man. And as we did not have one among us, God took upon himself flesh and the Son of God came and died for our sins. And so this is a very important doctrine. The incarnation of Christ, but now we see in this story, we're introduced to King Herod, and in the text we've read, Herod hears he's approached by these wise men. There might have been three, there might have been 30, we don't know. There might have been two. We always just assume they're three because they had three gifts, but the Bible doesn't tell us. But he's approached by these wise men, and they ask him this question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And so this sets in motion something in Herod's life and something in the nation of Israel, a chain of events that will bring about really one of the darkest days in the nation of Israel. Because of what Herod does in Bethlehem. But on the surface, the first few verses of the chapter, when Herod is approached with this, he seemingly, outwardly, he shows that he has interest in knowing more about the King of the Jews. And we know it's all just a ploy. It's all just a cover. There's not any real desire to know the Lord. But he does exemplify, on the surface, a desire to know the Scriptures. And this is what brings us to our thought today. And considering Herod's desire to know the Word of God. Look what it says in verse number 7. Of chapter 2. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Herod is inquiring concerning the star appearing, concerning Jesus. And of course, he doesn't know him by that name at this point, but concerning where the King of the Jews would be born, he seems to show an interest. And he even says that he wants to worship him. Is that right? In verse number 4, it says, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And so they go to the Scripture. When Herod wants to know something about the Lord, he goes to the Scripture. Now listen, that's what we're instructed to do as well. Is that right? We can know the Lord, we can know that there is a God by looking at creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Even someone without a Bible can look around him and understand that there is a power greater than himself. And with that understanding comes also an understanding that we are answerable to that power. And so, God puts that in every man. The light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, there is a measure of understanding that God gives to every individual. But we don't know the details about that God without this book. We can know there is a God. We can see his handiwork. And maybe we can even sense, in our hearts that, there's this great God, but we don't know the details about that God without this book. And that is a primary reason why God gave us this book. And he gave it to us by inspiration, and it's preserved for us. The Lord went to a lot of trouble to give us this book. And so the scripture is the key to understanding God. But I want us to understand this morning that the scripture is a means. It is not an end. It is a means. It is not an end. And what I want us to see, and we see in this illustration here this morning, that Herod, he studied the scripture, and he had those that helped him. And of course, there's always the experts, the scholars, which just means student. We think it's something special. It just means student. But there are those who, the experts who would tell us what the Bible says. But to know the Bible is good. It's essential even. But that is not the end goal of the believer's life. We ought to study the scripture to know the God of the Bible. Not just to know the Bible. You say, well, it's the same thing. Well, I beg to differ. It's not the same thing. I believe the devil knows the Bible better than anybody else in this room. But it's not profiting him. He does not have the right motive. And that's what I'm really getting at this morning. In the question, why do we study the Bible? Notice that Herod inquired diligently in verse 7, but in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently. He sent someone else to do the searching. He wanted to know, but not bad enough to search. And look at John chapter 5. This is a verse that you well know. Probably it's one that if you're out on the street corner and you're preaching, you might quote this scripture. But I want you to look at it. John chapter 5. Just trying to challenge us a little bit this morning. Sometimes we can get accustomed to something and that something becomes mundane to us. It can become static. It can become ritual. And when that happens, what you're doing stops at your head and it doesn't get to your heart. In John chapter 5, look at verse 39. Search the scriptures. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Why? Why search the scriptures? So you can know the scriptures. No, it's not what it says. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Why search the scriptures? Well, because it's very important that we search the scriptures because they have the answers of eternal life. Is that right? But then Jesus, he expounds upon that by saying, and they are they, the scriptures are they, which testify of me. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus Christ alone. Salvation does not come through knowing the Bible. It comes through knowing the God of the Bible. Now, the Bible is important. The Bible is essential for us to know God. We have to search the Scriptures in order to know the Savior. But the fact of the matter is, that listen, there are many, and you say, preacher, I think you're shooting at, you know, this is a straw man argument. It's not. There are many who are involved in learning the Bible, but they have no desire to worship the Lord. They have no heart for the Lord. They are using the Bible to promote themselves. These are all things that Herod manifests. I might as well just open it up swinging. Amen? There are people, I'll go to a church, and it doesn't happen often, thank the Lord, but it's happened often enough. Well, I'll walk in, and somebody will meet me at the door, and before they even know my name, they want to know what I believe about the gap. They want to know what I think about Old Testament salvation. Come on. They want to know all these things about me, what I believe. And really, they don't want to know what I believe about any of those things. They just want me to hear what they believe. And I'll grant many of them, boy, they know that Bible. And they'll bring out stuff, and I'm thinking, well, I never thought about that. And they'll bring out other things. Boy, you know, you make a good point. But it's not for the purpose. Listen, they're not studying the Bible to know God. They're studying the Bible to promote themselves. And I'm just saying, I'm challenging us this morning that we get back to the root of the whole matter. Listen, when you first got saved and you first started getting in this Bible, I'll wager, and I know that's probably, I shouldn't say that, but I think probably, if you're like me, when you first got saved and you started getting in this Bible came alive to you because of your Savior. And the Bible, you love the Word of God because it told you about Jesus. And you're reading the Old Testament and you saw Jesus. And you're reading the New Testament and you saw Jesus. And He was on every page and it was like a love letter from God to your heart. And listen, if we're not careful, it can go from a love letter to a textbook. And we're learning the Bible so that we can show other people how much we know the Bible. And we're learning the Bible so we can be right and you can be wrong. When they come up and they ask me those things, they are hoping that I disagree with them. If you agree with them, you just take all the air out of their tires. Why? Because it's pride. It's pride. Let me show you what I know. The scriptures. I love the scriptures. I love them all. I love the words that the Lord uses. In verse number 4 of chapter 2, it says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." That word demanded. Now, he just has the spirit of, you're going to tell me what this says. You're going to tell me, I need to know what you believe on this thing. Now listen, when it comes to the foundational doctrines I need to know that you stand on the blood of Christ as the only payment for sin. Before we can have fellowship, amen, you need to be right on the gospel. You need to be right on the book. Amen. Now I've got, I know there's a lot of brethren, a lot of our family of Christ, they don't know anything about this whole King James Bible issue. And there are some that even disagree. They know something about it and they disagree. And listen, I'm not against them. But I'm not going to join up with them. Amen. I am a King James Bible believer. And I will not move on that. Because you got to have a final authority. If you don't, it's just your opinion against mine. And opinions are like noses, right? They got holes and they stink. Anyway. So Herod wants, you know, he's demanding. Now, where is he going to be born? What do you think? What do you believe? Herod has a desire to know the Bible, but he does not have a desire to know the God of the Bible. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Everybody doing okay? Philippians chapter 3. I don't know why I ask that, because I just keep going regardless. Whether you say yes or no, I don't have any other plan, so I just have to go forward. Time to wrap it up here. What time? 10:20. Okay, we got a little time. Got a lot of time. Probably more time than I need. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. You see that? Worship God in the Spirit. Listen, Herod worshiped God with his mouth, but not in the Spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, Paul, he's talking about his background, he's talking about his learning, he's talking about his position, he's talking about his heritage, he's talking about his zeal. He's talking about his keeping of the law, and he's standing pretty good in all of those areas in his life. And listen, this is not just Paul talking. This is the Holy Ghost giving credence to his words by putting it in his Bible. And Paul's saying, I've got all this stuff. I've got, and certainly included in that, he had the knowledge of the law. He had the knowledge of the Scriptures. He was very knowledgeable in the Scriptures. But he says this, what things were gained to me, all of those things outwardly, a man looking at Paul's life outwardly, looked like he had gained a lot, and he was in good standing with God. He said, all those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. In other words, in his mind, in his spirit, he had traded all of those things for one thing. And that one thing was Christ. Look what he says, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So the Apostle Paul is saying all of those things, and he mentions all these things and included, you know, his relationship to the law. All of those things he counted lost. Now listen, in the law, we see clearly types of Christ. Is that right? I want to make sure I'm in the right place. Amen. We see clearly types of Christ all through the law. The sacrificial system, the priestly system, the tabernacle itself, the furniture inside the tabernacle. All of these things are pointing us to Christ. And so what I'm saying is that Paul's not saying all of these things that I knew and learned were wrong. What he's saying is there's something much better over here. And I would rather have this than all of that. And you say, what is that? Well, in verse number 8, he mentions the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that I may know Him. Well, you know, I want to learn the Bible. That's good. Here's the question. Why? Why do you want to know the Bible? If it's anything other than knowing Christ, you have missed the mark on why you're studying the Bible. Well, I want to be able to give an answer. Who's the answer? Christ is the answer. I want to be able to know doctrine and wisdom. Who has made unto us wisdom and knowledge? Christ. All doctrine, especially in the New Testament, but really all through the Scripture, all doctrine is about Christ. The whole book's about Christ. If you think hard enough and long enough, and it probably doesn't take that long or hard to think about this, we all know people who have known about Jesus and didn't know Jesus. As a matter of fact, most of us, me included, I knew a lot about Jesus before I knew Jesus. But knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus are two very different things. Certainly, we need to know about Jesus in order to know Jesus. Certainly, we need to know the Scripture. But the purpose of knowing the Scripture is to know Christ. And again, it is not the same thing. Knowing the Bible is not the same thing as knowing the God of the Bible. Because you can learn that Bible just like the Apostle Paul. He knew that thing in and out. And all those scribes and all who spent their lives just copying out the Word of God. You don't think they knew the Bible? And yet many of them never knew the God of the Bible. Because the purpose of searching the Scriptures is to know Christ. And the more you know Christ, the more you'll know the Scriptures. See, go back to Matthew chapter 2. Go back to Matthew chapter 2. Let me give you this. We'll wrap it up with this point here. There are two groups of people in this story in Matthew chapter 2, two groups of people surrounding the person of Christ here in Matthew chapter 2. You've got Herod and the scribes and the Pharisees and all his crowd, and then you've got the wise men. Is that right? So the wise men, we're not told the whole story of how this came about. We just know that they saw a star in the east, and they came, they followed the star, but they knew that this star was going to lead them to the King of the Jews. We can look back at Balaam's prophecy. and see a connection. Maybe they had that. We don't know. I'll tell you one thing they didn't have or didn't know. They didn't know he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Is that right? Because they didn't go to Bethlehem. They went to Jerusalem. And Bethlehem was, I can't remember how many miles it was from Jerusalem. 6 or 8 miles, I don't know, something like that. You've been over there, I think. But they go to Jerusalem. They go to the king. And what I'm saying is they have limited knowledge of Jesus. They have limited knowledge of the Scripture. The point could be made that Herod and his crowd knew more about the Scripture concerning Christ than the wise men did. Is that right? That's why they went to them. That's why they asked them, hey, we're looking for the King of the Jews. Do you know where he is? Well, let's study the Scripture. They studied out. He talks to the scribes, and they say, well, according to the prophets, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The wise men, listen, Herod says, I want to worship the Lord, but he never does. The wise men, they have come all the way from wherever they came from, somewhere in the east, and they have traveled many, many miles. Herod's like a handful of miles away from Jesus. And here's this crowd, they've traveled hundreds of miles to get to Jesus, and they show up, and then Herod says, he doesn't say, hey, you guys have had a long trip, you guys just wait here, and we'll go find Jesus, and then we'll tell you where. No, they said, no, you go find him. You know, when I travel to see my family, they live in Kentucky, and when I travel to see, I got my mom and dad, my three brothers all live there, and I'll go to see dad and mom, and I'll try to get a hold of my brothers. Hey, come over to the house. We'll all just meet at dad and mom's. You know what's amazing to me? They want me to come to their house. I've already traveled 500 miles. Can't you travel 10? And, you know, I think of that when I think of this story. But the wise men, listen, I don't think the wise men would have been happy with that arrangement. Had Herod say, well, you wait here, we'll go find him. And I'll tell you why. Because it was in their heart to worship Christ. They may not have had much knowledge concerning Christ. They may not have had much information concerning where he was going to be born. They certainly didn't have all the scriptures that Herod and his people had, but they had a desire to worship the Lord. And who does the Lord honor with understanding and introduction to the Lord Jesus? He honors those who have a heart to know him. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. I believe there's a whole generation of King James Bible believers that they'll stand on the book, but they don't really want to know the Lord.
Come on, that's right.
And we'll stand over here and we'll say, oh, look at those liberals. Look at those NIVers over there. They may not have much information, but they desire to know God. Amen. I know this is plowing a little close to our row, but this is what we need. The ones who don't have the full truth should not be outgaining us in a desire to know our God. Amen. Now, Herod had the scripture, but he didn't have the right spirit about things. Let me illustrate this to you in this way. If you notice back in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, in your King James Bible, it will define Herod the king in verse number 1, and the K on king is lowercase. Is that right? Okay. Just make sure we all had the same Bible. Verse number 2, the question by the Wise men, where is he that is born king of the Jews? That should be an uppercase K. Is that correct? Well, you know, in the NIV, those are reversed. Herod is uppercase king, and Jesus, king of the Jews, is lowercase king. And I was thinking about this. And by the way, that's not an accident. I was thinking about this. Herod had a, we'll say it this way, a King James Bible with an NIV heart. In Herod's heart, Herod was the king. The reason why Herod was troubled when he heard about the king of the Jews, you know why he was troubled? Because he didn't want to give up his throne. He was trying to protect his rights, and he was trying to protect his position as the Lord of Israel. He had the right Bible, but he had the wrong heart. And I don't know what kind of Bible the wise men had. I don't know. I don't know if they had one at all. Let me tell you what they did have. They had a heart where Jesus was the king. Herod's biggest problem was his NIV attitude. You know what? In these days, I don't know what the Lord wants to do. I don't even know exactly what I'm going to be preaching this week. I've been praying about it, but I don't know exactly yet. But I do know this. I do know this. What the Lord wants to do, He wants to exalt His Son. He needs to increase, and we need to decrease. That I do know. And it comes with an attitude. Listen, that begins with an attitude of a right relationship to the Word of God and saying, I'm going to study this Bible, but not to promote myself, not to try to show everybody how much I know, not so that I can be the king. I want to study this Bible so that I can know more about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I want Him to be the king. Not just in name, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. I want the Lord to be king. Let's close out with a word of prayer. And as I'm praying, just pray. Just pray in your own heart. And ask the Lord to show you in these days the truths that you need to see. And tell Him once again that you desire to know Him and to have Him as your King. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word today. And God, I pray that the message has gotten across clearly this morning. Lord, we are nothing without You. We can do nothing without You. Lord, left to ourselves, we make a mess of things. When we're ruling as the king of our lives, Lord, what a terrible outcome that we see. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would, as we're instructed to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we need to pray that even before Your physical kingdom is established here on earth. Lord, I want You to be the king in my heart, in my life. And Lord, help us as we look into the Word of God this week. Lord, I pray that we would see Your Son, our Savior, high and lifted up. I pray, dear God, that we would know Him in a greater way, and that knowing Him, it would influence our lives. And I believe we see that with the wise men. They left a different way than the way they came because of their encounter with Jesus Christ, because of the instruction of the Spirit of God. And Lord, what a picture for us, Lord. We want to be different. We want to be changed as a result of our time together around your word this week. And Lord, may it go beyond just a mental understanding of the truths of the Bible. May it get down deep into our hearts and change us for your glory, for your honor. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.